This episode of Talking to Mod is sponsored by Sam's Barbershop in Northern Ireland. Not only can you get a haircut to look like an ace face, you can also dress like one too. Upstairs, they have a wide range of men's and women's clothing to suit you for any occasion. So what are you waiting for? Go check them out. How are we doing, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Talking to Mod. Today it is two for the price of one. Yes, I have James and Simeon from that band Kid British. I absolutely adored this band and this was a fantastic chat. I ask them all sorts of questions and even if there is any chance of a reunion. So let's get down to business. Enjoy Talking to Mod.
Here he is.
Yes, yes.
Go on, the boys. What's happening?
Yes, Jay's joined us. Got finally him out.
Hey, that's a fucking album cover right there, boys. I'm telling you. Looking like you're gonna drop some serious heat. I'm telling you.
We'll see. People are asking. How's things, man?
All good my way. All good my way. How are you both doing? You good?
Yeah, good.
We are good. It's been a minute where we've spoke together. James is a veteran at the podcast game. We've been on it, but I've not spoke for a bit. But me and James together speaking, it's good. Feels like the old days.
Listen. Talking about the old days, I was reliving some of the old days about an hour ago. I had a bit of time. I mean, you know what it's like with kids. When you've got a spare hour, you're like, right, what am I going to do? Boom, YouTube, looking at the old stuff, mate, reliving it, thinking.
Yeah.
I remember them days, you know what I mean? As you said earlier, I mean, some memories, I'm glad it's on YouTube because it looks good. I know I was there, but I can't remember it.
Yeah, a lot of it I was saying to James before, I was like, Jay, if I get asked the question about this tour or that tour, you'll be like, do you remember much? Because I don't remember much from it. But that means it was fun, right? 100%. There was a lot, we were young. And it was a bit crazy, but it was fun. Obviously, hopefully, talking about it unlock some good memories.
And that's what it's all about, man. That's what it's all about. I mean, listen, I was a massive, massive Kid British fan. First off, I mean, I remember when I first saw you, I was blown away. I mean, we're going to get more onto them in a bit, but the way this happened is, Dean is a mutual friend of us both, isn't he?
And
he said, I know him, he's a friend of mine. I was like, fucking listen, I've got to get him on, mate. I've got to get him on. Do you know what I mean? So, first of all, I want to thank you both for joining me. It's really good. I'm really looking forward to this. But growing up, what sort of music were you both listening to?
It was a mix. In my household, it was a mix of music because obviously my parents were separated. So when I'd go to my dad, I'm getting all the old school. Roots reggae stuff, obviously all the Studio One stuff, the Lovers Rock, and then my stepdad was heavy into Nat King Cole and Hall and Oaks, and he was good. He was into his music as well, so it was like a mix of things. My mum would just take it or leave it, whatever was playing, she'd be down with. But I got to taking a lot of different sounds, so I think that's maybe what helped with the music I was making, just the mix of the different cultures. I think what about you, Jay?
Same, like growing up with my mum, and like a lot of Motown in the house, a lot of soul music from when I was young. But when you listen to your parents' music when you're a kid, you don't really appreciate it. But then as you get older, you realise what influence that's actually had.
Mm.
Not only as on you as a human, but especially like when you're making music, you actually hear bits of those elements come out later in your writing or your production. And, you know, especially when we all merged together, that was the beauty of Kid British. Like, we all came from similar, but such an eclectic mix, like what we'd grown up with as well.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. I mean, similar to like that, what you both listed off, you know, in my household, my mum and dad, my mum was a mod and my dad was like a teddy boy. So I had a bit of everything going on. There was an artist I remember listening to, Lonnie Donegan. He was like the king of skiffle. And when I first listened to him, I thought, what the fuck is this, right? Do you know what I mean? This is noise. And then obviously about 26, 27 years later, I ended up actually calling my son Lonnie after Lonnie Donegan. So music can have a massive impact in your life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, massive. Shout out Lonnie.
Exactly. Nice. Shout welcome, out Shout out the old man.
Yeah, for real.
Go on, please.
It was good. Like again, like you said, when you're younger, you don't appreciate these things. You like turn that off. What is this? But then as you get older, you're just like, yo, I'm so happy I was introduced to this.
Definitely.
At young ages.
Yeah, your parents were actually playing you the goodness, but you just didn't realize at the time.
I try it with my son now. You know what? It's a funny story. The other day, I picked my son up on the train, right? So I'm coming back from Liverpool, and he's like, oh, I listened to Good Kid, Mad City the other day. Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City. It was like, what? It was like almost like, yes. So now I thought, finally, got him home. I was like, there's some other albums that I need to get you on. And he's like, Dad, I don't want to hear all this other shit. He's like, I'm just take it slow, basically. I was like, well, you got Illmatic, you got this. So I was trying to give him a breakdown of the songs, and he's like, no, he's just getting into Kendrick now, so I need to take it.
I was sort of like, I mean, my son's only, he's coming up to 3 in a couple of months' time. And so he doesn't really know exactly what music is to a certain extent. He knows what Mr. Tumble is. And at the moment, he's going on about this, I'm a Gummy Bear song. Oh, my God, it's brutal. Absolutely brutal, right?
Like
Baby Shark, we had that for about 12 months. That was doing bits, do you know what I mean? And you end up watching it and going, I ended up Googling, right, I'm wondering how much these people made out of this, you know, this one song, Baby Shark, right? Because lyrically, it's not the best, is it? You know what I mean? It's not supersonic or Wonderwall. But anyway, I had a look, and the geezer who done it, multi-millionaire, and I'm thinking, I'm in the wrong game here. Bro, do you know what I mean?
What do you think we're back in the studio doing?
We're doing a couple of baby tracks, you know?
Kid British is done, mate. We're making these kids
literally.
But that is what it was. That was a part of the master plan.
Oh, love it. Love it.
My son's 14 now, so he's almost 14. So it's just literally a little man now, isn't it? So
I mean, time flies and you've got to make as many memories as you can. He's sort of already been to a gig. I did I think it was Kaleidoscope Festival. They did it at Ali Pali, and I did a bit of work during the day. And then in the evening, they had... Happy Mondays were playing, and I was like, oh, I wonder if he could like if he'd be interested in this. So anyway, we're watching it and he loved it. He didn't cry, I put it that way. So I'm classing that as his first gig, and that was literally about 16 months or something. But he loved Bez because with his maracas and all that. So I ended up like a couple of weeks later buying him some maracas, right? These wooden ones from like Fisher Price, right? Probably the worst thing I've ever fucking done in my life, because they got dashed all about the house, mate. Ended up getting holes in the floor and all that. Like these proper wooden maracas, and he's smashing them about. So basically, it was a bad move. But
no, that's it. He's on it.
You got to teach him. You got to teach him some smashing stuff up.
Yeah. But he's on it though. He's on it. That's it. He's on it from young. He's getting the rhythm and that with the maracas. Sick.
Listen, so what? Go on, Jane.
No, I was just gonna say like what else? What else is been happening with your view as well?
Do you know what, right? So, listen, I'll tell you about it. So, like, I do magic, right, for a living, believe it or not. I've been on tours with some of my absolute heroes. Like, I ended up going on tour with the Libertines, and then I did Pete Doherty's solo tour, Reverend and the Makers, Paul Weller, and the Brian Jonestown Massacre. Done a few festivals in between, right? But it is absolutely mental. And, like, at the moment, I'm just trying to... I've relocated to Belfast. So I'm trying to sort out. I am. Okay. Yeah, man. But so it's the comedy circuit over here is massive. Like they have got some fantastic names over here. And I'm just trying to see what I can get. But at the, so far, it's been brilliant. It has been brilliant, and I'm very lucky, to be fair, because I've sort of cleaned up my act and all that, and sorted myself out. Because there's no, listen, you know yourself, boys, from being on tour, right? There's a few things that are always floating about, and you've got to, one day you've got to try out. You go, do you carry on, or do you just put the brakes on a bit?
As you get older, you kind of got to kind of know when to reel it in a bit, because you just, you literally, you're surrounded by it, aren't you? You're surrounded by it all. And as you get older, you kind of know, you still dabble, but you just got to kind of, you kind of got to just shape it a bit more rather than it be just be strategic about it.
Listen, Simon, I'm telling you, I've had to stick the handbrake well and truly on, mate. That's me. Them days of rock and roll are long gone. It was, for instance, I could tell you a story about being at one of your gigs and then ended up like still partying about 2-3 days later with the boys because we thought we were on such a high. We ended up going, I think, do you know what it was? I think it was the one that ended, I think it was the one that ended up getting shut down. Was that the last one?
The last London show ever, I think that was, that got shut down.
I mean,
if
you're going to do it, you might as well get it shut down, didn't you?
Well, shout out Wes if he's watching. I don't know. He said he's going to watch, or he might watch the stream. But them boys, they used to come. To be fair, we loved it, but also didn't help when it came to getting gigs. Because what happened was the venues wouldn't allow us to play because they obviously their license, they think it was attracting trouble to the venues. So a lot of venues we got blacklisted from a lot of venues. So shout out the guys, the West Ham and Millwall fans, because we loved it when it was going well and didn't get stopped. But yeah, when it got, we loved it. Obviously we're on stage and the carnage is like, you love it. That's what you want. But it didn't help when it came to us getting more gigs.
That's but mental.
Went out of a bang, which was good.
100%.
Yeah, the live shows are like the best thing. And like, I'd be on stage and I'd see Simeon kind of just fly out into the crowd and stage dive. And I always wanted to do that, but I never got to. And I used to just watch him just like float off in the crowd and then come back to the stage. And There was one gig that we were on like quite a high festival stage. And there was a stack of speakers, probably about 1.5 to 2 meters off the stage, like front of house. And Simeon jumped onto these speakers, but his mic cable didn't stretch far enough. And I'm singing.
I remember that.
And he's landed on this stack, and it was a big drop down to the floor. And his mic cable's like stopped here. And I'm just watching him like trying to balance.
I don't know how I did.
About a 20-foot drop.
I don't know how I didn't injure myself. What was that gig, the Wicker Man gig, when I climbed to like
on the rig?
Yeah, and then everyone started throwing bottles. Everyone was launching bottles, trying to catch them, and turned it into a game. We're like, whoa, whoa, whoa! I see my own friends in the crowd throwing bottles.
Fucking hey, listen, you want to go into the stuntman game or something like that, mate?
You know what? It was from my fireman days, because before Kid British, I was a fireman. Don't know.
Yeah. No, man.
I was a fireman, so it was just like, I don't know why, I was just like into climbing. I was like, let's go.
So, got a funny story. You mentioned about stage diving, right? That's something I've always wanted to do, right? But I mean, how many magicians have you seen stage diving? So I thought, I'm going to give it a go here. And we played, I think it was Rock City in Nottingham with Reverend and the Makers. And I said to him, when you play, you know, heavyweight champion of the world, I'm just going to run out there and just fucking launch myself like a diving header, like Van Persie in the World Cup. Do you know what I mean? I'm just going for it.
Yeah.
So he's starting to play the song, right? And I thought, fuck this, I ain't going to do it. But he's looked over and he said, are you ready? Are you coming? I thought, oh, he's stuck me on the spot here now, isn't he? Like, if I don't do it, he's going to ask at the end. So anyway, took my jacket off and all that. And then I thought, don't even think about it, just do it. So my friend who was with me on the side of the stage, he's filming it and I'm thinking, well, there's no going back now, is there? So I've jumped down. When I've, the video is, you'll see, like, I'm running towards the end of the stage and then I've looked and I thought, oh, fuck me, I ain't going to make this. So I sort of jumped down onto the railings, right? And I've launched myself in, Nobody caught me. I just went straight down, mate, right? So exactly that, right? These people, so anyway, like, I'm looking up, right? And this geezer's helped me out. He went, "All right, mate, yeah, brilliant." Like, he's helped me up. Went, "Oh, by the way, I loved your set." I'm like, "Fuck that, mate. I think I need an ambulance here, son." Do you know what I mean? Anyway, took me back. I broke two ribs. I was gone, well, mate.
It, when you're hesitant, you got to go for it, man. You can't be like, semi, shall I? Then, yes, that's mad. You broke ribs.
But I might have been a bit intoxicated that night as well. You know, if I was a bit sober, I probably wouldn't have done it. But, you know, made a good video.
Never again.
Fuck that. No chance, mate. No chance. I've got a kid now.
Yeah. No ribs were broken for me. That was luckily no ribs were broken.
Let's talk about that debut album from you, lads. I mean, I've still got it. Love it. Like I said, I don't want to come across as like I'm licking your own ass, but it's like I always give credit when it's due. And yes, as I said, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But what was it like for you lads to bring something out? Like you bring an album out and go, right, this is it. Let's see what we can do with it.
I think we had quite a difficult time with our music because we got signed to a label, which was obviously, you know, that's our dream. Coming from where we was every musician's dream, but coming from where we came from, our background, the music that we came from, ending up in a band, like we started out as like garage MCs, we came from garage music. And we were rappers and MCs, and then we figured out we all had voices and we could sing. And we met Sean, he was a guitarist. And then we started writing songs, and it was a very new space for us. So we got signed really quickly off the songs that we wrote. And we knew we were very different. There was no one else like us. But the music that we recorded, it was a great time, but we were never fully happy, probably, like how we were presented from the label side of things. Because if you came to a show, we were out and out rock and roll. It was madness, literally. So our music, it was great, like for us to be in the sphere of like the Premier League, having a record deal and stuff, and see what that world was like. The music, I think it's always hard to let go of music as a musician. Like, it's hard for us to go back and listen to those songs sometimes. Like, these ones that I might love, Simi might not like. Simi might love something, I might not like that. Everyone's got a different perspective of that time. But I think in hindsight, we had a lot of rawness to us that we would have probably liked to have kept more of. But, you know, when you sign to a major label, you are constantly battling those higher powers as well, which is the age-old story of the music industry. But that time obviously was such a beautiful time, like what we got to do and the people that we got to connect with, and even doing things like this now, like, you know, our fans were the best, man. Like, they were great people.
Yeah, it was mad. It was a crazy time. Just like what James said, you're like, when you're young, you're just grateful to be in this position. Obviously there was like seven of us, but four, me, James, and Adeo being so close from school, these are things we'd talk about when we were in uni and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? But it's a dream. When it actually happens, you just go with whatever. You just want it to continue. And the labels have a subtle way of, some people say labels make you do things. That might be the case for some people, but they kind of have a subtle way of manipulating it so you still feel like you're making the decision. It's like, well, go with this song. This is the song. And we're like, that's not going to really work, because we're touring now with these bands, The Enemy, Cortinas, and the singles not making sense with what we're seeing, what people are reacting to live. So, but the label's number one thing is recoup, just got to make this money back. And that's the big pop record. And you put you in with the pop producers, the pop engineers. So what you're hearing live is not what the final product of what you heard on record. But what James like will try to say, sometimes it's hard to listen. Like, obviously we love it that people still actually like it and yourself and whatnot, but for us it's kind of like, I'm like, oh, I hate listening to this. I'll be honest with you, right? When we even adding music to the story to promote the podcast, it hurts my ears. Sometimes I'm like, oh shit. But that's just, it's part of, it's just almost like the anxiety and the insecurity of hearing something and not liking it. So you think that everyone else has that same perception of what you're hearing,
but it's like, we're obviously, me and James like work together a lot now, and sometimes the people we're around will play our music.
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, yo, what are you doing? So turn it off. But we love it, but it's just not how we wanted it to sound. We go live and play it now and love it as much as we did then. But it's hearing it recorded, it's not the same feeling. And you've actually only got half of the projects. Obviously, the other half never came out.
Yeah, that was a decision from the label, which was kind of like, because people are consuming music differently. We were at like the start of like, you know, just before Instagram and things popping off like online. So they were like, people are cherry picking songs now. They're not listening to albums. So we wanted to release half an album. We were like, well, we don't want to do that. So that conversation went on for however long. And it was like, no, this is what you're going to do. And we're like, but we don't really want to do that. We want to get the whole thing out, because as musicians, when you make music, music's of a time of where you're currently at in your life. So by the time you're releasing something, we've already moved on creatively. We want to get the next thing out. Our shows are, you know, just pure energy, and we want to now capture that on the next record type thing. So I think what Sim said is like the first producer we ever went in with was Stephen Street, and he'd done, you know, Blur and everything. And we were in a huge studio, which was like obviously a lot of money every day, and he really taught us the regimented work of studio. Get there at 9, you finish at 5, and you have your lunch at this time. And that really put us in a realm where we were like, oh, this is serious. But he captured our sound perfect. So if you listen to Elizabeth and Cosmopolitan, that was like working with a producer who got us vocally, he got us musically. And those two songs like really sound sonically great. The other songs like Lost in London, She Will Leave, like the Lost in London sounds good, but when you listen to it live, it always had a different feel. And I always wonder what it would have been like to record those other songs with Stephen Street as well. Segs and Dubby, who we worked with, they'd work with like Chemical Brothers. So we still had like a really raw sound, but it was just a different approach. And I really believe that like, how you approach music is also how you end up capturing it. And it's that methodology, like that's forever. So you can never change the past, but I always like to think about like, what could we have done different? But you know, when you are with a major, you only have so much kind of say in where things are gonna go.
And you're young, and like you said, you're just grateful. You're young and grateful. And you're like thinking, you know what? Well, it's still our music that's going out. They're not asking us to do something else, you know what I mean? But then it somehow you just end at a certain point. You're like, how did we get here? But again, we wouldn't change a thing when it comes to the experiences. We just probably change things when it came to more taking more control in the decisions that were being made, because we kind of relaxed and allowed management to make these decisions. And obviously you believe they've got your best interests at heart, and they do. They're also trying to make money. At the end of the day, you want to make as much money as possible, and you're getting told by labels that you're going to be a millionaire. So you're just like, right, let's just go with it. And you're like, but obviously,
there's a lot of wildness that comes with like being signed that probably a lot of people don't realize. We sat in a room and we were all told like, by this time next year, you're all going to be millionaires. And I was 21 at the time. So you're just thinking, what? Yeah, like, based on this projection of album sales, like, you'll all be millionaires in about 18 months. And it's like, what? So you kind of, when they're telling you this is what we want you to do, you kind of trust that.
Yeah.
And you know, now at this age, you think 21, like, I knew nothing, but it's such a whirlwind of a time. Like, when you're in that thing, the best part of it was being out on the road and just connecting with the people, the rawness, the show. Like, us as a band, we were so proud of how tight we sounded, because we used to turn up to shows and we're not a traditional band. If you like, look at us, like, we're multicultural, like, we rap, we sing, there's four vocalists. Those traditional bands kind of like wouldn't respect us because we were signed to a major. So they thought, oh, let's see what these guys are about. And our drummer Mikey was probably in his 50s at the time. So we were in our like mid 20s, he was in his 50s. Soon as you heard Mikey sound checking, you saw the fear on the face of all the support bands like that were around us, kind of acting a little bit, these guys aren't, they can't be that good. So that's one thing I love, like when we were out on stage, like we were just wrong, really, we were just great, and we yeah. and it was on the smaller stages, you know, the bar, the pub gigs, the bigger stages. Like, we were really dialed in, and I was really proud of that. Something that I loved about being in Kid British.
And we had a sick fan base. Shout out the West Ham boys, them guys.
Shout out the Fulham boys.
Oh shit. Sorry, I started again. It's going to be a riot, man.
This is how it started. Then someone stepped on someone's trainer. That's a wrap.
Yeah. No, it was fun, man. We had fun. And we always had fun down south. We had a lot of times people would say, down south, they don't move, they're stiff. It's hard to get anything out of the down south audience. But we had some of the best gigs down south.
Yeah, it was great.
You mentioned a couple of the acts that you toured with as well. I mean, The Enemy, what a band. But you also toured with The Specials as well, didn't you?
Specials, amazing.
What, mate, what must have that been like? I mean, to even get told that you're going on tour with them. I mean, one of the most iconic bands ever.
You know what? I think we were unsigned at the time when we got The Specials gig.
We've been dropped
at this point, so it was like, I think I was reaching out to, like, obviously people, like, I think I met a message Linville Golding, or I can't remember how it went, but I reached out to somebody like, yo, we're obviously this band, the whole, like, our music, we're big fans of you guys. And Linville Golding, like, got straight back to us. It might have been his daughter that got back to us and was like, yeah, we love you, like, we'd love to, like, connect somehow. And then Linville came to our show, right? So Linville came to our show in London. We had a little show in London, and this is actually on YouTube. Actually, Linville came, and we're like, oh, Linville Golding's in the building. He came on stage with us, and then he got on his knees,
yeah,
and was like, I want you to tour with us. And we're like, get the fuck up now. Get up. What are you doing? Like, this is Linville Golding from The Specials. Like, you know what I mean? Like, get up. That's all on YouTube as well. That's all on YouTube. That was filmed. And we're like, yo, we'd love to. We didn't do a full, it was like eight to 12 shows.
Yeah, the beauty of that whole thing as well, like, some of our early gigs, like, there was a channel in Manchester called Channel, and it was like a really small TV station. When you look at, like, our early performances on TV, we probably weren't fully dialed into The Specials at that time. It's just we naturally captured a similar energy of like, what those guys had at those times. And I think the older generation started to feel a bit of that, and then we started to clock more of that music and that style and realize that, oh, there's something similar going on here, and it's not even by force, it's just by nature, like, it was all natural.
Yeah.
So when those worlds started to link up, you know, the people that had naturally had that multiculturalism in a band before us, and we had a bit of that similar sound and the same feel, when that came together and we supported them, that was another level up for us, because those crowds aren't easy. And we were playing, I think it was, that was it, Millennium Square in Leeds.
Yeah,
that was a massive crowd, and you know, they're there to see The Specials, so we're coming out and you can feel the energy, like, it's tense, like, people don't really want you to do well because they don't care about you. And when you, like, come out and you play and you win over those fans, that's incredible, because that's music from a very special time, like, no pun intended. Like, so then we started to accumulate older fans. So you'd see at our gigs, then you'd see, like, older ones at the back and the younger ones at the front, because we just tapped into so many, like, different people, because they felt the music. So the Specials was an incredible time, because we were playing venues that we'd not seen yet, like, just incredible places, 2,000-4,000 people, maybe even more. It was just mind blowing.
Bad.
Yeah, amazing time. Shout out to those guys.
Are you lads all right for time for a little bit?
Yeah.
Brilliant, man. I mean,
you can check on here for something, because I don't know how to come off here. This is the first time I've done this. Sorry.
All right, mate, go on. Oh, no, it's gone blank. I'm fucking with you. Are you there? Oh, you're there. You're there now, yeah? He's paused it. He is at it. Now he's actually paused it. Oh, no. What's he done? Right, we're back,
Literally,
we're back, we're back.
I
Right,
sent
don't touch anything. Don't touch anything.
sorry, I sent my missus a cryptic message, like message feel, like sorry, Sky, I'm getting food on. She can probably be like, why? She didn't know I've ordered food. I'm like, message feel. Let's see if she can figure it out. Oh, sorry, she'll be watching this. Melissa, can you message feel, please?
This, look, I want to talk about a couple of songs that are my favorites. Lost in London, I know you mentioned that already. That's one of my favorite, but Part-Time Job, mate. Like,
Part-time job. That's my
such a
favorite song.
Scar feel about both of them songs for me. Like, when I listened to them, I was like, I
She said,
just
will do, will do.
took me
Sorry.
somewhere else, man. Like, I just think they're two fantastic songs. So how do you feel about them too?
Let James speak about these tunes.
The journey of those songs was a bit crazy because I think, when we first went down to London and just navigating London, like pre-iPhone, like there's no maps on your phone, like just being in the real world and looking at maps of the tube and getting it wrong and interacting with people and not really getting the same kind of like smiles and help that you might do up north and just being thrown into. I remember crossing the street in London and a taxi's coming. And you know when you're midway over the road and I'm thinking, I'll just slow down. Like, taxi's like, you give him a wave and say, thank you. Nah, this guy nearly killed me. I was like, oh, I'm in London, innit? So it was those experiences of like coming back and just being in the box bedroom at my mum's house and just turning those stories into like actual songs and part-time job, like similar thing, just being at a job that you hate and really wanting to do music as a full-time job and still needing to make money. And we were all in that position. So Adeo had actually wrote a song called Shirt and Tie, and I wrote a song called Part-Time Job. And then we realized that these two topics kind of were pretty similar. So that's actually two songs I like, put together. And
Brilliant.
yeah, the music of those two, I feel like they really capture what Kid British was about. Like Lost in London, like had the melody of, those like the old school Specials feel, like with the organ sounds and a bit of reggae in there, but it had Where We Came From, which is hip hop. It was a real strong hip hop beat. And Part-Time Job was just as probably at that time just trying something different. And those two songs, I still love those two songs. Like
They're my
I can
favorite.
hear them and have
Yeah.
no problem with them.
These are the ones we wanted to release first. To be fair, we did release them on the Leave London EP. But I think it's one of them, and it's tongue in cheek. We're from up north, you get it. A lot of people from down south, industry wise, didn't really understand it. They just thought we were dumb northerners. They're like, what do you mean you get lost when you come to London? Like, what do you mean you just go on underground? It's like, there's a lot of people this side that. When you get there, you're confused as fuck. You're just like, where the heck am I going? So it made sense to us, and the world. I mean, but obviously, like we were saying before, where it's like, oh no, go with this one, go with this song, and we're like, but these songs, part-time job, Lost in London, we're getting the best reaction live. But we're feeling it. We know what's gonna work here, but we're not the ones holding the money, the purse. So. You go
Okay.
with it, you go with what, you
But
go with what.
two absolute bangers, mate. As I said, the part-time job, I play it probably to the point where the missus gets a bit like, are you playing that fucking song again? I'm like, put the brakes on, get on it. It's an absolute belter, but
Thank
it's
you.
got to be
Thank
done. Like, I love it. And I honestly, I think that's what, when I first heard that, I was like, yeah, this is it. Like, honestly. And then I remember seeing a cover as well. You did Adele, Someone Like You, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mate.
Yeah, we did.
Mate, that I'm not even set. There's listen, like when I saw that, my mate, funny enough, Mark, he loves music, absolutely loves music, and he's always finding all sorts of bands. And he was the one who got me into Kid British. And then he showed me this. I remember All Round These, and it's got the laptop out. It's like, boys, get on this. And we were like, right, it was just incredible, mate. Your vocals in it are outstanding, and I'm not just saying it, as I said, I always credit when credit's due, but that's that's up there in one of the top five covers I've ever seen in my life. It's just,
Thank
you took
you,
a
man.
song and you made it your own. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, got it. That was actually a Dale's idea. He just kind of said, you should sing this. We need to do a cover of this, and you should sing it. And it was a lot of our, like, behind the scenes of Kid British. It was a lot in our personal lives. Like, my partner was ill at the time, and that was a pour out of emotion for me, like learning that song and actually just singing it in that moment. There was a lot that I was going through on that day, and I just felt it come out. So I remember, like, I think we might have done it live a few times. It's not the easiest of songs to sing. So I remember thinking, like, whatever I did on that day doesn't feel like what I'm doing now, because I was going through a lot. So it definitely captured, like, if I was to watch that video back, that brings stuff back for me, because I remember how I was feeling that day as well. So it was definitely one of those moments. That's the power of music. You know, it's people connect to something, and you know, that helped me release something, but also that is encaptured in whatever that performance was, and people feel it, that extra 5 or 10%, and feel the rawness and the realness from it.
100%, man, because I mean, like, funny, you mentioned in that the way you were feeling, you could see something, you're thinking, you just sung as if your life depended on it on that song. And do you know what? I think the reaction you got from it, people absolutely loved it. And I think that's a credit to all of you for even doing it, because it was just incredible.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
So
Shout out Adele.
the oh,
Where
all the
is
boys, all the
Adele?
boys.
Hey, by the way, Adele's in LA. So Adele, sometimes we'll be like, Adele, what are you saying? But he's on a different time zone.
Let's go and wake him up.
Yeah, like, get up. He'll be cutting, to be fair, if he comes on and sees that we're unable.
The
But
question, I mean, you probably know, listen, we're coming to the end of it, but obviously there's a question that a lot of people are throwing about, and obviously I've got you on, and I've got to ask the question, and I, do you know what I mean? And you probably know what the question is.
haven't got a clue. I didn't do it. It wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
Was it me? Come
Who do you reckon is going to win the Premier League next season?
on,
No,
the boys! Come on, the
right, none of that, none of that, mate.
boys! Fucking
No. So, can we expect to see anytime soon in the future a couple of little reunion dates?
what? Like, the door was never fully closed. This is all I'd say. I know it sounds cryptic, but we're best mates. Me and Jay speak every day. Me and Adele are the same. All of us speak. We're best mates. The British wasn't no put together, manufactured thing. We've been friends since we were 11 years old. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're old now, so it's not gonna change. And unless something drastically happens, it's not gonna happen. But we will always say there's gonna be a time where we get. It's just as you get older, like you said, you've got kids, you've got responsibilities. Adele's in LA. Everyone's individually doing okay when it comes to their path that they're on. So nobody actually, we don't necessarily, it's not an urgency, if you know what I mean. But we would love to, because we loved it, and we do feel like there was unfinished business. But again, it won't be anything that's rushed or forced. But yeah, never say never. Is
Yeah, I feel like it's
the
obviously, it pops up every now and again. Like, people ask the questions, there'll be people in Sims DMs, there'll be people that'll message me. You might, every now and again, you'll go down a Kid British rabbit hole, and I'll message the boys, like, bro, do you remember this? Do you remember that memory? And then things start flooding back, and then obviously, like, we'll have conversations, and then we'll realize how special that time was. But everyone is, like, in a place in life where everyone's doing really well, and I'm proud of everyone for that. But we're also, like, really busy. So if it happens, it's going to be a divine timing thing. And Adele is in LA as well, so we've got a whole ocean to navigate as well.
Yeah, Dale,
But
shout out Dale.
no, like
Oh,
Sim said, never say we never say never. Like, and if we're going to
boys,
do
you're
it,
breaking my heart here.
yeah, Sean as well. No, again, it's will it would it'll, it is hopefully it'll happen. It's just getting us all in the same city at the same time, at one time, and that is it. Literally, that is it. It's obviously, we're in 2024 now. You can send people files and that. But the beauty of Kid British was we were together. We were bouncing off each other's energy. It wasn't this sending over, you put something on there and I'll figure it out. we were in the same room. Do you know what I mean? It was like, what have you got today? Sing me your ideas, and then we were just coming up with stuff. So we wouldn't want it to be forced, and we wouldn't want it to be something like, what are you guys doing? Like, why are you, what, for what reason? We'd like to come back, and I think if we did, it would be for a reason, good cause, something that we believed in. Do you know what I mean? And that's it. But actually, before you go, you need to plug this, shameless plug, running the Berlin Marathon 2024 for the Christies. And there's a link in my bio. I think my thing might be private, but I'll take it off private so people can see.
And send it, and I'll share it on my page.
I'm running for the Christies Berlin Marathon. So yeah, any little contribution. I know it's a cost of living crisis. It's very hard right now for people. But anything you can do to help a good cause, please do so.
Listen, you do a reunion show, and I'll send you $2,000. So about that.
A bit more than that, mate.
Wait, that's just for one song.
Two five.
Now, boys, before I let you go, I've got to say, though, what are you both doing now, and what does the next 12 months hold for you both?
Yeah, so me and Sim work together. So I still make music, still write music, produce music, and Sim does videography. So we work together in that space where we work on like fashion campaigns together, stuff like that. So we're both just, yeah, still being really creative, which is, I don't think people realize how difficult it is when a band breaks up. I don't know if other bands experience this, but because like we all knew each other and we were so like entwined in each other's lives, when that ends, like, we went back to like quote unquote normal jobs. Like, it's quite humbling to go back to those worlds. So to find us like where we are now, getting to create and work together again in a different way, like, I'm super grateful for that. And I think that's only going to lead to other great things.
Yeah.
So in terms of the Kid British thing as well, like, I think what Sim touched on there is like, we're living in a time where if we make music, we're going to have some good content to cover, because we enjoyed social commentary as well. So I think that would be a good thing for us if we ever write music again. But in terms of like what we're both doing now is, yeah, we're just enjoying life and counting our blessings and seeing where we can take things to the next level, and just continue to be those guys that just, yeah, fun loving guys, good energy, and try and succeed in life.
That's good to hear, man. Love that, man. Love that. But
Thanks for caring.
No, of course. Listen, I'll be flying that flag for a long time, mate. Don't you worry about that. It's what it's all about. But I do get what you're saying, though. You know, it's like going back to the reunion bit. You know, I'm not just keep plugging it and saying it, but it's like you said, you know, when the time's right, if the time's right, that's when it happens. But you don't need to now. And I think it's good to see that you're all doing your own thing and you're all, you're still mates, because at the end of the day, the friendship is, and it's, you know, at the end of the day, a band, you're making money and that, but a friendship's the most important thing.
It's broke a lot of friendships bands have, do you know what I mean? You hear about it where you get together and you're together so much. We're together every day for what, 5 years, six? We went to uni together, so even before that, we were in the same uni house. Then we went, but obviously all quit uni, had an idea, let's quit uni and join and then take the music seriously. And then you're together every single day. You're young as well, so you don't understand your emotions when you're younger. You don't understand if your brother, your friend's feeling a bit down. It's just like, shut up, do you know what I mean? Let's crack on. You don't understand all that when you're young, especially when you're young, before online, Instagram, all that stuff. You didn't really have the information as much. When we sound like we're from 1920, but you know what I mean? You didn't really have the info. And it was just like, it can get intense. So the fact that we're still super close, we still work together. I was in LA with Adeo last month for the month before. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're all brothers with Sean as well. Like, it's Sean wanted to come, to be fair, but he's in the middle of a move. So shout out Sean.
He's moving from the studio actually where we wrote all our music
today.
He's just moved out of there now. So even that was like I went to see him. I've not seen Sean for a while and went back to that studio, and it's a little bit different, but to walk in and then Sim came as well, it was kind of like, wow, we spent so much time. We had like a whole summer where we didn't see daylight, because we were just in a studio with no windows writing songs. And
yeah,
that was a really special time, man. So I don't think we can close the door on like creating music and putting some shows together, but we just gotta make sure, like, if we do it, we come back and we blow people's heads off. It can't be no like half-hearted thing.
Yeah,
it'll be us like really like doing things properly.
I won't be climbing. I don't think
no climbing, right? It'd be on a similar frame, you know.
Yeah. No. We won't be climbing, not now.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Nah, boys, listen, honestly, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you both. And I really have enjoyed this chat, and I hope you have too.
Cheers, yeah, I appreciate it, man. And this is the first time we've done this as well. It's since back then. So thank you, like I said, thank you for caring, and shout out everyone for still sticking by us. And yeah, we'll be back soon. Well,
love. Listen, I like that the door's not fully closed yet. It's just out ajar. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just, you know what I mean? Just
love that. Love that.
Weed smoke.
Well, listen, lads, have a lovely rest of the weekend. I look forward to seeing you both soon one day.
Nice one. Thank you so much.
Take care. All the best, lads. Take care. Bye bye.
The next door.